GM Summer Drive is back. Right now, get up to $5,000 cash back on 2004 GM cars and trucks. Take delivery by August 31st. See your dealer or GM.com for details.
1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendrick.
Coming up tonight, Margaret Gray is at the Democratic National Convention. She will be reporting to us live from the Fleet Center in Boston. Used to be called, well, I don't even know if that was the old original Boston Garden or if they bulldozed the Boston Garden and now they have a brand new Fleet Center. The Boston Garden, the hallowed home of the Boston Celtics, where they played on something called the parquet floor, which is a wooden, or was a wooden floor. Wasn't made out of butter, bud.
Well, it's parquet.
It ain't made out of butter, you jackass. Parquet's a butter. Parquet. P-A-R-Q-U-A-T.
That's paraquat. Ain't it?
Anyway, they're going to be in, she'll be in Boston on the phone, and she won't be on no parquet floor. P-A-P-A, I don't even know how to spell it. P-A-R-K-A-Y. And so she'll be there talking about that, to, and also be talking to us about how the black vote isn't going to be as crucial to the party's success any longer. So you black folks, you don't have to vote this year. Because they don't need your vote. Thanks very much for showing up. Thank you very much for your interest. And certainly stay ready. Stay at the ready. Stay by the phone. Stay by the door. Have your hand on the doorknob. They may need you. But for now, it doesn't look like the Democratic Party will need the black vote. So you guys can just stay home and not vote at all. And, of course, I'll probably ask the question, well, maybe some black people will vote Republican. And she'll say, yeah. Bobby Dooley will be on. She is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association, but it really doesn't have much to do with that. She's going to be talking about a very exciting thing that happened to her today. She got asked for her ID while she was buying wine at Liquor Barn. And that is, well, I guess in Bobby's view of life, that's to be expected because, after all, she's very youthful looking and her outlook on life is very youthful. So that's coming up on our program tonight, and I'm looking at this story about Terry Hines saying, shove it to the reporter. Apparently this has taken on a little bit of a life of its own because she is now saying she's very happy that she said it. There was a crawler at the bottom of the television screen on one of the news channels that said she denied saying it, which I can't imagine she actually denied saying it when her husband was congratulating her on saying shove it. And, of course, Dick Cheney got the ball rolling with FU to Patrick Leahy of Vermont. And it occurred to me that this is going to become de rigueur in the political in the political realm, in the so-called legitimate realm of life, telling people to F it, F off, MF, CS, you name it, man. They'll be calling each other the C word, and it will be completely legitimate because people are being praised for this. Terry Hines is being praised for her response to this very rude reporter. Dick Cheney is being praised for his very direct response to a badgering Senator Leahy. And what's the FCC going to do when legitimacy begins to be lent to these words and to this kind of attitude? What are you guys going to say? What other job are you guys going to get besides sitting there and rubber stamping things and just sending them on down to some page or some office boy to go run off and mail to the radio stations? I mean, if Dick Cheney is telling people to go F you, then, hey, Michael Powell, F it. You guys, the FCC, are just going to have to just say F it to the whole thing and go home, man, and watch some TV, maybe cable. Do you realize that the United States Senate and Congress, this is a precedent. I'm not saying it is an enormous milestone. I'm simply saying that as we begin to informalize ourselves in life, look, take a look at an old picture. What do you see? Like at a ball game. What do you see? Take a look at the crowd. When you look at an old picture of a ball game, and you look at the crowd, how are they dressed? A baseball game, like in the 40s and 30s. They got on a tie, they have on hats. Sure, they're drinking beer, and they're eating peanuts, and they're screaming and yelling, and probably even getting into fights. But they're getting into fights wearing suits. You just didn't go outside the house in those days without a cover on your head. The women never went out of the house without a high-button dress and the big high-button shoes. Some of the ladies had umbrellas. Some of them were bringing along their nannies and maids. Sometimes you needed to buy like 6-box seats, one for you, one for your husband, maybe 3 or 4 for the kids, and a couple for the nanny and the cook. Nowadays, people are they're showing up nude at ball game. I mean, you know, we're not wearing any clothes. Let's face it, we're basically not wearing clothes anymore. You're sitting, the old story of sitting on an airplane with a guy there in first class wearing the tank top with the arm hair and, oh, man. And the guy smells like he hadn't showered in a week. And a lot of these cats are wearing their big tank tops now because they want to show off their tat. Like, that's what I did at my barbecue last weekend. I got the big tat there of Maria, so I wanted to show it off. And you can tell a modern tattoo, right? It's of something odd, like Daffy Duck. What happened to the good old tats where it's like the globe, the anchor, the United States Navy, USS Indianapolis, like Robert Shaw there in Jaws? That there, Mr. Hooper, was the SS Indianapolis. Anyway, so the informality of life continues to make itself known everywhere. And, you know, on the radio now, of course, we're speaking more freely. At television, we're speaking more freely. And now, it's made its way into Congress, into the world of politics, where Cheney sits there, looks at Leahy and says, why don't you take it and park it right square up your bleep? And Theresa Heintz looks at that reporter and calls him a beep. Miss Heintz, what do you think of that? Beep it. Now, what's going to be happening, you'll be seeing it on Martha Stewart. She'll be making a salad. She'll hit herself with a knife and go, ah, you stinking C-word. And any kind of program, probably even TBN, Jan Crouch, oh, bull beep, Paul. Jesus didn't say that, you piece of boop. Well, now, Jan, you blithering boop. And it's going to be cool. I sure they'll beep it, but it doesn't mean people won't be saying it. Like, if they showed it on C-SPAN, thing to remember about Cheney, I just want to repeat this. When Cheney told Leahy to F off or F you or F it or you miserable two-bit MFing C-word, you pranny T-word, when he told him that, the Congress was not in session. The Senate was out of session. In other words, the public gallery had been cleared, and the senators, as they often do, as we all often do at our jobs, were standing around talking, you know, about the business of the day. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And there were some reporters still present, and Leahy apparently was continuing on with Cheney about something that was important to him, and that's when Cheney told him to shove it straight up there. And Heintz, of course, she was in a bit of a more public forum, but the point being, we are living in an informal time, and it's going to be increasingly more informal. I think it's going to be fascinating. By the year 2010, within 6 years, they'll be at the Democratic National Convention, and they'll be saying things like, George Bush is a raging eep, and you all there, he can kiss my bear. Oop. And now the President of the United States. Good evening. At 6 o'clock, I told our armed forces to get prepared to attack Iraq. That miserable piece of Hussein, why that lousy oop, he can kiss my oop, you, Saddam, and your whole family. Anyway, and then Brit Hume will be there going, good evening. Well, I just got fired from this job, and I'm moving over to CNN. Good night, and good whatever the hell. Go straight to the living oop. Anyway, man, I swear to God, like Morton Kondracki will be going, ah, that's a load of bull boop, because you know as well as I do that Senator Kerry's a piece of oop. It's just going to go on and on. It's just, see, there is something to be said for language, and all of the audio will be replaced with that annoying beep. All of a sudden, it's just going to be beep. That's it, and good night. Shove it, because they're getting praise. Vice President Cheney was fantastic. He said, I don't apologize. And Mrs. Kerry, I don't apologize for saying shove it. Well, Mrs. Kerry, didn't you tell that guy that he was a miserable, raging C-word? Yes, and I don't apologize at all. But you said it in the middle of a preschool. That's right. We were there making clay bunnies with the kids. And the teacher, she bugged me, so I told her that she was a T. A stinking, raging T-word. But there were like four-year-old kids around, so who gives a oop? All right, 1-800-449-8686. That's just something for you to look forward to. Something to kind of make you smile. It's kind of like all of our best of shows. If you ever listen to a best of Phil Henry show, it's just one boop after the next. And around here, we beep out things like, I don't know, I beep out my name just so they're careful. You know, we can't be too careful, Phil. The FCC, what do you mean the FCC? You're beeping my name. Well, it might be offensive. So now it's the Oop Henry show? No, it's the Phil Boop show. Oh, you're beeping out the name Boop? Yeah. So you don't mind calling myself Phil. You just want me to say my last name, which is Oop. You're right. Might offend some people who are, you know, don't like that. We even bleep poo-poo. We bleep that out. We say doo-doo. We bleep that out. We bleep out anything that's going to, you know, we don't want to offend. God knows I want to hold on to my job. Please, dear God, don't let me die. Don't let me die cold and alone in an alley. Just let me live. And if I have to beep poo-poo, doo-doo, baby poo, all those words, we beep them. I even said on the air one day, I said, ouch, and they beeped that. And I said, ow, you just hit me in the beep. And it was I was saying hand. But they were afraid it might be something. They just went ahead and beeped it. You never know. It could change between the time I say it live and the time it runs taped. 1-800-449-8686. Here on the Phil Henry Show, Margaret Gray in Boston. She'll be talking about very interesting turn of events, the Democratic Party. They're looking at the electoral map. They may not need all the African-American votes. You black folks can stay home this November. The Democrats can do it without you. And Bobby Dooley, she got carded. They asked her for her ID while she was buying another box of wine over there at the Regal Liquors. And it's an exciting thing for a 39-year-old woman to have somebody ask her for her ID. So she'll be talking about that coming up on the Phil Henry Show. And our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. And Chris, I'll ask you, do we have our mailbag? Because we should have some mail I didn't get to last night.
The rest of the mailbag.
Out of sight. We'll do that tonight on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Look, the nature of the human race, the nature of culture is, as long as it's not hurting anybody, we always decide, as long as I've been alive and as long as I've been looking at history, we always decide, well, it's cool. You know, we can make room for it. Like Theresa Hines says, shove it. Yeah, that ain't bad. It needed to be said. Shove it. Eh. Right? It's colloquial. Everybody knows the meaning of the phrase, and if the guy needed to hear it, he needed to hear it. Guy's bugging her along the campaign trail. I mean, after all, ask the same question 900 times, dude, and you're not getting a satisfactory answer. Move on to another question. Whether she answered it or not, who cares? She told you to park it. That's what you ought to do. Go back to Pittsburgh, man, and have another freaking Iron City beer. Same thing with Cheney. He says to the guy, look, you've been busting my castanets on this thing for the last hour and a half, Leahy. Why don't you F it? And we all applaud. We all, well, God, you know, that's straight talk, man. Americans appreciate straight talk. I mean, as in straight talk, I mean like talking direct, right? Now, I propose to you this. As we, like I said, as we begin to realize there's really no harm in these things. Well, we don't want our children talking that way, do we, Phil? Are you kidding me, man? The cats are talking that way anyway. Like F, the F word and the S word and the C word and the T word and the R word and a few other words that start with like Q that you probably aren't even aware are profane. They're in public all the time. I like just walk in any place where there are lots of really young people. I'm not knocking it. I mean, I don't particularly like it when my kids are sitting there and I hear, you know, like the local softball team come in and go, boy, Bob, you really took it straight in the oop. Then I got to go over and say, excuse me, could you please watch your language? Most of the time, people are cool. But I propose that Playboy magazine, in, say, 50 years, you know, Christine Hefner, she's going to be about 104, and she's still going to be running the magazine, and she's going to be moving it forward, right? And Penthouse and all these magazines, about 50 years in the future, the centerfold for January will be a woman sitting on a toilet. Honest to God, it will. Are you trying to say, Phil, that will become mainstream erotica? Yeah, I do. Yes, I'm saying that now. I am saying I'm probably the first guy to say this in the history of the world, but I'm telling you, probably not even 50 years. I bet you 15 to 20 years, a classy, classy, high-gloss, shiny magazine like Playboy, Miss July will be squatting near a tree. And there'll be a roll of, you know, like newspapers sitting. I'm telling you right now. You think, oh, how dare you say that? Look, I'm not saying it for the, what's the word, prurient value. I'm saying it for the historic, contemporary, you know, to take notice of what's the, of how life evolves. When you say, you know the man used to say never, man, he wasn't kidding. Never say never because it always comes down. Sooner or later, it's always going to happen. If it doesn't, our only criteria in a healthy society, who's it hurting? If we can determine that it's really not hurting, because we're always, every time we talk about anything, the first thing we ask, who's it hurting? Is it hurting anybody? If it hurts anybody, I don't want it. It better not hurt anybody. I don't want it to hurt anybody. You're riding around with a motorcycle helmet on. Yeah, but it's only hurting me. It's still hurting someone. It's hurting you. Well, it doesn't hurt anybody else. It hurts you. And if I have to make up a bunch of crap about how it hurts other people, then I'll do that. For instance, it's costing a lot of money in terms of insurance in the emergency rooms. Therefore, motorcycle helmets must be mandated down the state of California everywhere else. You know, like that, even we get crazy to the point where even if it hurts us, because it's not going to, it isn't it my right to ride around without a helmet on? I mean, we've been having this debate now for 15 years. They're not going to roll back a motorcycle helmet law. They're just not going to do it. You want to know why we have motorcycle helmet laws? I'm going to tell you why. Because motorists hate people on motorcycles. Hate them. What are you talking about? I thought we did it because... No. Oh, you thought we made people wear helmets on motorcycles because we care about them. Are you kidding? That's got nothing to do with it at all. We hate people on motorcycles. We can't stand the fact that they lane split. We can't stand the fact that they save on gas. We hate the relative freedom. We hate the cavalier way in which they ride their bikes. We just hate the general statement of a motorcycle, which is anti-car. It's two wheels, not four. It's outdoors, not indoors. It smacks of Hell's Angels. It smacks of outlaws of the road. We just don't like it, and so we gotta do something to those guys. We have to do something to bust down on them, don't we? What can we do? And by the way, lane splitting in the state of California, I don't know where about the other states, but it's legal here. You can lane split. The reason why we make cats on motorcycles wear helmets because we hate their guts. We don't like people on motorcycles. We want to screw their day up. We want to mess up their good time. That's the fact, Jack. So anyway, getting back to this whole thing, if it hurts somebody, it hurts somebody. For instance, underage drinking, underage smoking marijuana. Well, we still haven't figured it. Maybe, does it hurt somebody? Doesn't it hurt somebody? Is it hurting society or is it not hurting? We don't know yet if it's hurting anybody. I guarantee you that Playboy will have Miss January squatting in an outhouse before we ever see the legalization of marijuana. And you're going to hear all kinds of sex shows. And good evening. I'm Raja Paul. Yeah, welcome to Late Night. Oh, yeah, I'm going to talk to the ladies tonight. Talk to the ladies tonight about how's it feeling out there, huh? Let's talk to your sister right now. How you doing, baby, huh?
I'm all right.
What's your name?
Sinek Patui Tana Tundukundumba.
How you doing? Can I call you Jane?
No, I want to say my full name.
Sinek Patui Tana Tundukundumba, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. What you like on a beautiful night?
You know, I forget your name.
I don't think I said it.
I love it when my boyfriend brings me roses and he orders in dinner and we have a candlelight dinner.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then I go into the bathroom and relieve myself with the door open.
Oh, that is out of sight. That is so out of sight. We'll be right back. I'm talking to some other ladies. I got a lady hanging on the line right now. Her boyfriend's coming home. How are you going to surprise him, honey?
You know what I'm going to do, whatever your name is. I'm going to greet him at the door with a roll of double ply.
That's out of sight. We'll be right back here on Late Night. My name is, just put any Muslim name in there, I don't know. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, man, I forgot to tell you, Blubber Ass was on the Forehead Boy show today, and Forehead Boy got his rear end handed to him. He got destroyed by Blubber Ass. You should have seen it. Well, I didn't see it. I heard it. I heard the tape later. Fat Boy came on and was debating Forehead Boy. And I'm going to tell you right now, Forehead Boy, who, as you know, is I guess he is the man over at Fox. He is the face of Fox News. And the guy is so confident when he is talking. When you see him, didn't he look confident to you? He looks like he really knows what he's talking about, right? You should have heard Blubber Ass hand Forehead Boy his rear end on a shiny, buffed-up platter. Dude, bad. Real bad. Not an attractive thing. And you want to know what was the saddest part of all of it? The stuff that Blubber Ass was handing Forehead Boy his rear end on, I mean, I could have torn him a new one, Jim. I mean, I'm telling you right now, it was the lamest debate you ever heard in your life. Here's how it went. Blubber Ass, what do you say to an American parent whose son has died in Iraq? I say he died, and here's Forehead Boy's response. He died fighting a regime that had weapons of mass destruction. But it was a lie. Bush didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. It was a lie. Well, it wasn't a lie because he thought it was the truth at the beginning. But a lie is a lie. A lie is not a tell. In other words, the guy got sidestepped and sideswiped into a whole other debate. Whereas here's what you should have done, Forehead Boy. What do you say to parents whose son has died in Iraq? I say that he died fighting for his country. He died fighting for the U.S. military. It's part of the risk of being an American soldier. Ah, but he wasn't told he was going over to Iraq. He was told a lie about why he was going to Iraq. Soldiers don't have to be told reasons. They simply follow orders, sir, okay? What do I say to the parents? We destroyed a terror-sponsoring regime. Ah, that's why I'm on the Forehead Boy show, not the Phil Henry show. You're kicking my ass. See, Forehead Boy didn't have his teleprompter on, and so Blubber Ass ate him a new one, man. I mean, he had him for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a snack. At that rate, Blubber Ass will never lose an ounce. Not so much as a gram of weight. Not even water weight. Oh, it was bad, man. I seriously, because you figure that cat over there, that Forehead Boy, you figure he's the guy that's really going to set some people straight if he can get his mud hooks in them, right? What he did, according to my young friend, Mr. Newman, is he accosted him right on the street in New York, and he said, listen, Blubber Ass, why don't you come on upstairs here to the Fox, up to our Fox den, and let's have it out on TV. And Fat Boy said, okay. So he went up there, and the cat blew it. He blew it. It was horrible. It was the most sophomoric debate you ever heard in your life. I'm telling you, I'd pay Fat Boy. All I can afford is 10 grand. I figure at the outside I can afford $10,000. I will pay Fat Ass 10 G's, one king grand in cash if he wants to come on this show. But it ain't going to happen. You want to know why? Because the cat's got bigger fish to fry, man. He's over there in Washington. He's in Boston right now. Hanging out with all the intelligentsia. I'll even give you a free t-shirt there. I'd have to get an XXXX. I'd have to have it custom freaking made, but I'll get one for you. It'll be a Phil Henry Show t-shirt. A special Forple X size for Fat Ass. Really blew it there, Forehead Boy, man. You had the world in the palm of your hand, man. And you messed it up. I'm going to have to go back listening to the Rajah show there. I have to go back listening to him talking to all those sisters about what you do tonight. What the hell happened to that, man? Where's the bongo music? Oh, there it is. We'll get Raj up later on, man, because he is, without question, Mr. Sex. Because let's face it, we don't need the black vote. The Democrats, I think they can do it without the white people, but we still need black African-American kind of colored type people to tell us what's sexy and what ain't.
It's time now for Raja, King of the Late Night. All right, and let's get another little caller on the line here tonight to talk about what's happening. Hi, honey, what's your name?
This is Michael Moore.
Oh, man. The hell happened there anyway? All right, I got a young lady on the line now. She's going to dedicate a song to her husband who's out on the road tonight. How you doing tonight, baby, and what's your name?
Michael Moore.
excuse me, just a minute. We'll be right back after these commercial announcements. I got to get my phone screen straight. Hold on for just a second.
Hey, what are you guys trying to do anyway? Get the right callers on the line. Think I can do that low voice forever?
Oh, we're trying to do it.
You're not trying hard enough. Now do it!
How you doing? Hey.
How you doing?
I got it. Okay.
We're back in 30 seconds.
Get some good calls on the line.
And now the Roger Show.
Yeah, all right. I'm Roger. Ooh, look at this. I got a lady on line 3. He's going to tell me about it, what she's wearing tonight. How you doing, baby?
Yes, I'm calling in reference to Bill O'Reilly.
Ooh, that hurts. We'll be right back.
Are you trying to make me look bad, or what's going on? Get a good call.
And now back to the Roger Show.
I will try one more time. Oh, God, please let him. Here, oh, look at this sexy lady. She's wearing blue panties tonight. Oh, how about that, huh? Ooh. Now, baby, why are you wearing blue panties tonight?
Well, I'm not wearing blue panties.
Ouch! And this is the Roger Show. We'll see you next week. I'm sorry how messed up the show was tonight, man. That's cool, you know.
All right, what was that about?
I don't know, right?
You guys made me with egg on my face every week. You're doing it.
Why don't you just do a show with your regular voice?
I don't want to. Bastards.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Boy, here's a surprise. This is a shock. In fact, I probably won't recover from this one. I'm probably going to have to... I'll need intravenous feeding for a while. I'll need liquids. Richard Dreyfuss has slammed George Bush. How about that? Is there one cat in this town that ain't done it yet? I mean, is there anybody who has not come out and said Bush is this or that, or the worst thing that ever happened, a criminal, the Antichrist, an arrogant, violent, miserable, rotten piece of crap? And that's just Cheney. Margaret Gray will be in the Democratic National Convention there in the Fleet Center next hour. The Democrats won't be needing the black vote this election, she'll be telling us. And Bobby Dooley on the fact that even though she's 39 years old, she was asked for her ID while buying wine, and it's because she's so bloody youthful. That's coming up tonight on the Phil Henry Show, including our mailbag. But actor Richard Dreyfuss has slammed Bush. He said that he was the worst possible thing that could ever happen. I can't wait for Kerry to get into office because I just want to see this country get better quick. And I want it to get everything has just been so terrible that when he gets elected, within 30 days, I want it all fixed. I want it fixed! I want out of Iraq. I want the economy good. I want 85 billion jobs created. I want it now, baby. I don't want to be waiting around. I want it now. And I want that stuff. I'm voting for Kerry. I'm voting for him, and I want this stuff happening within like 30 to 45 days. That's what he gets. Look, Bush could have prevented 9/11 in 8 months, right? And I figure that's the worst thing that ever happened to this country. So you figure 8 months, the cat should be able to fix everything having to do with international terrorism, right? Right? Of course he should, because the Clinton administration told him there's some really serious stuff going down. Not that we can do anything about it, but there's some heavy stuff, and we just want to, you know, want to lay this on you. So Bush should have fixed it, and he didn't fix it. He let the whole World Trade Center go to hell in a handbasket, baby, in 8 months. So I figure a little tiny thing like, you know, creating 23 million jobs, but he could do that in about 45, 60 days. And you can get our asses out of Iraq, because I'm sick of being there. I'm so tired of looking at that place. I'm tired of seeing our guys sitting around eating the K-rations in a hot freaking tank. Some guy walking by selling iguanas and Aztec calendars going, Afendi, would you like... Oh, will you bug off, man? You came by here yesterday. No, I don't want any Cool Pops either. How the hell are you going to keep them frozen in this thing? Afendi, are you looking... No, I don't want any Orange Crush, man. I don't care where you got it. I want out of there, man. I want us. I want our troops out. I want to follow the lead of Spain, Italy, all them cats. Let's just bug out. Screw the Iraqis. They get what they deserve. Look it. I figure their life's better. Saddam's out of there, right? So what if they're running around like this road warrior over there, man? Like they're gonna have 19 million warlords. 68 guys wearing, bed sheets on their heads, and they got all these Kalashnikov rifles, and they're like the local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan, but they're running the village, okay? Yeah, you gotta have the Americans over there. We don't know anything about their culture, man. You know what? And Saddam, did you read the latest on him? He's writing poetry. He's writing poetry, and he's eating muffins. What the hell? What does he think he is, anyway? Huh? Is he Martha Stewart now? I think he's been getting her broadcasts on cable. You know, I've been thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, what do you want to do, Your Holiness, Your Excellency? Look at this Martha Stewart. Is that why you're floating candles out there on the toilet?
That's right. No more for me. I want to write poetry. I want to eat muffin. I want to eat muffin. I said muffin, not...
I know what you're saying.
And I'm just through with it, you know? I just want to... Tell you what, here's my request list. And
anchovies, cheese. What are you making, a Caesar salad?
Yeah, because I seen the show. Oh, come on, man. We got to pull the TV out of here. You got to be back getting being the dictator of this country, not some guy making Caesar stinking salads and making a, like a bird bath out of a coffee can?
Saddam Hussein, really, he's writing poetry. He wrote a poem about George Bush. Roses are red, violets are blue. You. Basically, that was it. He did. He wrote a poem and he's eating a freaking muffin. Yeah, he's got it bad, don't he? I'm telling you right now, I've changed my mind on the whole thing. Let's get out while the getting's good. By the way, Teresa Heinz is on TV right now giving a speech, and she ain't a half-bad-looking woman either for 640 years. How old is she? She's like 9 years older than him? She's pretty damn good. What do you mean she's got a mustache?
I've seen a shadow.
What?
I've seen her with a shadow.
So she's got a shadow. It doesn't mean she's got a mustache. She's not a bad, you know, first ladies, other than God bless Barbara Bush, she was like our national grandmother. Yes, she was, you know, and in her younger days, she was an attractive woman, but age had taken its toll, as it will on all of us. But for the most part, Americans want their first ladies to be, you know, I figure Kitty Dukakis would have been a great first lady, honest to God. Kitty Dukakis was that wonderful cocktail party hostess type first lady, the one that walks up to you and she's got the glass of straight vodka and just a little bit of lipstick on the glass going, "How are you? Huh? Can I take your coat?" And she's tall and attractive and the hair is nice and she's just a little wobbly going back, "Ooh, well, we're having a lot of fun. Just put your coat on the bed, honey. You come on inside. We're singing songs of piano." Yes, Mr. Dukakis. "Can we gather at the river?" And then we had, what's her name, Hillary. You want to know why she got so much heat? Because she had the big rear end, that's why. She's not what we wanted in a first lady. She had a big butt and a career and glasses. She talked about how she wanted her own career. She talked about how she had opinions about things. We don't want women to have opinions about anything. There's only a few select women in the society that are allowed to have opinions, okay? Judge Judy is one of them. Oprah Winfrey is another. And Martha Stewart, that's it. Those three, either she's the domestic goddess variety, she's the Oprah Winfrey who sits around like the big sister and tells us everything's going to be okay as we are slowly dying from a heroin overdose, or it's the Judge Judy who's given us a thorough reading of the Riot Act, telling us what a piece of garbage we are. Those are the three kinds of women we want in our society. We don't want some chick standing there and saying, "I want to be a lawyer, and I want to be apart from my husband." Now, here's this Teresa Heinz. If you can get over the fact that she's, you know, part of an $85 billion empire, well, the point of fact is we like her because she's an heiress. She ain't running the Heinz Ketchup Company. She's just an heiress to all that bread. As a matter of fact, a lot of guys in this country are, you know, nudging each other and going, "Boy, that Kerry, did he fall in it and come up with a rose in his freaking nose? With a face like that, guy looks like freaking Herman Munster, and he falls into it like that? She's worth about $9 billion. She ain't half bad looking. She might be about 70, but so... She's going to be a good first lady. And Laura Bush was a great first lady. She's a librarian. That's what we want. Heiresses, librarians, women that are like into astrology. Nancy Reagan, God bless her, Nancy Reagan. Nobody ever did really figure her out. In a lot of ways, Nancy Reagan is considered to be kind of cool, but a lot of people are afraid of her. Even the general public was very afraid of Nancy Reagan, because while she looked sweet and harmless, she was about as sweet and harmless as a razor blade and an apple on Halloween night. I'll tell you that right now. She wasn't, you know, there's a whole lot more to her than just that funny-looking makeup. Now we got here this Heinz Kerry and Laura Bush. And I'm telling you, that's what we want for these first ladies. But I'm voting for Kerry for this reason and this reason alone. I know, I've said I was going to vote for Bush. It's just not getting through. So I'm going to vote for Kerry. Because it doesn't make any difference at this point. It doesn't make any... I figure Kerry's a shoe. I think he's going to win. I hope he doesn't, but I think he's going to. I'll vote for him. But I'm going to be expecting big things real fast. And if I don't get what I want, and this is what I want the country to be hermetically sealed from all foreign elements of terror, A. B, I want 25 million jobs created. C, I want more good times than I can possibly stand to have. D, I want it all, and I want it now, and I want it within 60 days. And E, your mama too. Okay, so that's what I'm looking for, man. And I think if he can deliver, then he's my main man. And if he can't, then I'm going to sit here and cry and kvetch like I always do. I'm going to sit here and bitch and complain like I always do. But if he can't, I'm just going to tell you this right now. He ain't going to change diddly squat, man. We ain't leaving Iraq, number one. Number two, he ain't rolling back the Patriot Act. It ain't going to get rolled back. Did you just read the paper today? Listen to this. A Muslim charity that was shut down after federal authorities accused it of being a financial arm of terrorism was charged Tuesday with conspiracy dealing with terrorists and money laundering. You want to know why? Because we got a thing called the freaking Patriot Act. Now, if they're innocent, they're innocent. The Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development, its executive director, its chairman, and five other men were named to the 42-count federal indictment unsealed Tuesday. The indictment alleges conspiracy, providing support to a foreign terrorist organization, conspiracy to deal in the property of a terrorist, and dealing in the property of a specially designated terrorist. Wow, baby, that's heavy. Now, there's a built-in, I don't know what the word is, but there's a built, it's called the Midnight Rule. The Patriot Act is going to go out of business as of midnight, I think, 2005, something like that. I don't have the exact date. So, in other words, it's got a built-in, you have to, Congress has promised to look at the Patriot Act again and decide whether the thing is really working the way we want it to work. Kerry will be president when that Patriot Act comes up for renewal. And I'll make you a promise right now. He ain't going to roll that sucker back no how. Because you know what they're going to find out when that thing comes up for renewal? They're going to find out there's no gulag with 85 million Arabs, all innocent, sitting in a hole in the ground without deprived of their natural right to go to the bathroom or whatever the hell else they're supposed to be deprived of. It doesn't exist. We don't have thousands of cats sitting around in some sort of twilight. I mean, the thing's been working pretty good. I don't see no concentration camps around here. Kerry ain't going to do nothing about the Patriot Act. So that's the war and the Patriot Act. This is still going to be happening. He's got my vote. I'm all for fascism. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is live in Boston, the nationally syndicated columnist who is our special correspondent all this week at the Democratic National Convention. And I want to find out right off the bat, Margaret, how are you doing and what's new?
Phil, I'm doing wonderful. And what is new is I was talking with Del Schaffner, one of the organizing delegates for the Kerry Elect Committee. And he was showing me the electoral map, and we were looking at the different districts involved. John Kerry has a great base in Ohio. I think everyone knows that. I think he's going to do very well in Florida and South Carolina. We're looking at an electoral flow that perhaps, Phil, for the first time in many, many years, we may not need the black vote. I think the Democrats are going to do well without the blacks. And it is quite significant.
Well, so you're saying...
No, but it is significant we can get a president elected that way.
And what do you mean by that, exactly? Not needing the black vote, I mean.
Well, the black voter has been essential to the relative success of the Democratic candidates throughout our history. In recent times, Jimmy Carter got 98% of the black vote, Bill Clinton, 97, 98%, and every 4 years, we have reminded the blacks as to what was expected of them. This year, we can swing it on the white vote. And in a lot of ways, it's good news that we now have enough, I suppose you could say, Anglo or Caucasian or European-American voters where we don't have to get out the black vote.
Well, wait, when you say what was expected of them, you know...
The black voters.
Yeah, when you say... what do you mean what was expected of them?
Well, it was... It was reminding black voters of their obligations. Of all...
Well, what obligations were those?
Well, of all the improvements that black voters have seen, Phil, under Democratic rule, they've been the result of hard work, very hard work done by the Democratic Party. Certainly hard work done by the African-American community as well.
But when you say improvements, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about anything. I'm talking about the fact that African-Americans can fly first class in airlines. In fact, black people now have the right to buy cars, that they have the right to cable television. All of the things that they didn't have the right to, they now have the right to. And so I was part of a group of Democratic Party volunteer ward workers who canvassed the black communities and would remind black voters of who the Democratic candidate was and ultimately what was expected of them.
Well, it's a little presumptuous to say what is expected. How are you approaching these voters? What are you saying? Because if you're putting it the way you are putting it to me, it sounds a little presumptuous and condescending.
No, absolutely not, Phil.
Well, that's the effect.
No. But in canvassing the black neighborhood, you go door to door, you ask, as you would in canvassing any neighborhood, is anyone in the home of voting age? And when you get to speak to that person or those people, you simply say to them...
I want to know exactly, what do you say to a black voter?
Well, you say it very bluntly and you say it with conviction.
But what do you say?
Well, I would say, look, the Democratic Party is counting on you to help defeat the man, and we want you to continue voting Democrat, and you will be expected to vote Democrat. And
but what is that meant when you say the man and...
It's colloquial, Phil. But the message is very clear. You're going to vote Democrat. The good news is we don't need them this year. That's the point that I'm making. The Democrats will carry enough electoral votes without the black vote, and that is... As I said, historic, and the message, it won't be as necessary for African-Americans to vote this year.
Well, it won't be as necessary, surely. They want to vote like any American has the right to exercise their right to vote, African-Americans or white Americans, right?
Well, they can vote. They can do what they want. That's fine. It's not needed, is all I'm saying. We're not counting on them.
Well, what if they decide to vote Republican? You know, what if those African-Americans decide to vote Republican and they decide that they're going to turn Republican?
Well, it could turn for the Republicans, Phil, but you're asking a ridiculously hypothetical question.
Well, what if it did?
Well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to...
Black people, black voters, the black community, whoever the hell the 98% are, whatever percentage that means, what if they vote Republican and swing it for George Bush?
It's not going to happen. The black people of America know, Phil...
But why not?
Just listen to me, because I worked in this area for a long time. The black people of America know who got them where they are today. The Democratic Party. You're asking me a question like that. It's like saying it's possible all of the gays will vote for George Bush. That's not going to happen. I can tell you before we see gays and blacks vote for George Bush, we're going to see a cure for AIDS. You know, it's just not going to happen in our lifetime, I don't think.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is on the line with me. We're talking about all the news from the Democratic Convention in Boston, and you are reporting from, it sounds, street side to me, Margaret.
Well, I can tell you it's a lot quieter out here, Phil, than it is on the convention floor.
But your main message here, you were looking at an electoral map with one of the, carry-elect committee members?
Yeah, I was there with Booth Southcutt and Del Schaffner, and they were showing me the electoral vote, and I looked at it, and I said to Booth first, I said, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? And he said, you tell me, and then I'll tell you what I see. I said, I'm looking at a vote. I'm looking at an electoral map. We don't need the Democrat. We don't need the black vote. And he said, you got it. And I said, this is historic. So I told him that I was going on your show later on. And what I wanted really to say to the voters out there, both white and black, Democratic voters, is this. We've got plenty of white people to vote Democrat. It's the first time, really, in the history of our party, but we've got plenty of white people, so it's not going to swing on the black vote. So I would say to black voters, you're certainly welcome to vote. It is your right to vote. I think it's a wonderful right to have, but don't feel guilty if you don't vote this year. And
but that's what I'm saying. So suppose they're listening to you and they say, okay, well, the lady there on the radio said that I don't need to vote this year, but I want to vote Republican.
No, when I say don't vote this year, they're going to vote. If they voted, they'd vote Democrat.
And well, that's what I'm trying to say to you, Margaret. If
Phil, you're bringing up a hypothetical that is as far-fetched as finding life on the moon. It's just...
Well, wait just a minute. There's plenty of black people that vote Republican.
There are black people that vote Republican, Phil, yes. There are gay people that vote Republican. They are out of the mainstream. So,
all right, so I'm a black guy, I'm sitting out there, I'm listening to the message tonight, and I say, all right, they don't need me to vote for Democrat. Gee, I wasn't going to vote Democrat, I was going to vote Republican.
Well, there won't be enough of them. It's just, it's not, black people know what's expected of them, and one of the wonderful relationships that the Democratic Party has had with the black is that there is a symbiosis. We know what each other is thinking. We know what each other needs. The black knows that we need their votes. We know that they need their votes. And we know that, and they need from us all of the things that we do. And
those are specifically the things that you mentioned.
Welfare and free meals. Whatever it is, I don't know. The platform changes a lot. And
welfare and free meals. That's what the black community needs.
That's not all, Phil. That was the primary... The things you were asking me about...
Yeah, okay. So the message you're sending here tonight is that we've done an awful lot for black folks. Welfare, free meals, the right to have cable television, all things that smack in the mind of the average American as giveaway programs. And for you, the Democratic Party represents that for black people, and you're saying in a very positive way. And I'm saying to you that I think that that's wrong. I think that it's something that is demeaning. It is something...
Well, you don't get it at all, do you? When you said you were going to vote Republican...
Well, maybe I don't get it. But it doesn't sound like any kind of a platform that I'd be proud of were I a Democrat.
So in other words, if I were a Democrat, if you were a Democrat, you wouldn't be proud of the fact that we've gotten many, many millions of black people free food and job training and shelters to live in. And
well, that's saying that, the primary need of the African-American community is a free meal and a shelter. And
well, I don't know where you've been, but there are a lot of black people, good people, strong people, who need a check, who need some funds, and a bed for the night. I don't understand.
What about the ones that are making middle-class wages, living in homes that are fine and don't need a shelter and don't need a free meal?
Well, that's fine. I'm just... The primary need...
If you're saying that the primary need of the African-American community...
The primary need, Phil, of the African-American community is the Democratic Party. They know it, and they know what's expected of them. Now,
there you go again with what's expected of them.
Well, exactly. And I don't intend to sit here and argue with you. But the black community votes Democrat, or they don't vote at all. Now, I don't want to sound strident, and I don't...
Don't you sound like the little dictator.
No, I'm not, no. You really don't get it, do you? You really...
Well, okay, but hold on for a minute. I'm sure she doesn't like being put on hold on that note. Margaret Gray is broadcasting, calling us live from outside the Fleet Center in Boston, where the Democratic Party tonight has decided they have enough votes in the key swing states where they won't have to rely heavily on the African-American vote after all. And it has been a vote that they have, quote, and I'm using her word, expected. If you're black, you're expected to vote vote Democrat. But this year, they don't need the vote. I said, well, what if they vote Republican? That's not going to happen. So what happens to all those millions of African-American votes? They just sit home? If they're not going to vote Democrat, and if they're not going to vote Republican, I should say, and the Democrats don't need their vote, I guess Ms. Gray is saying, why don't you just sit at home, man, and cash a check and live in your shelter? 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Margaret Gray live from the Democratic National Convention in Boston, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is on the line with us from Boston tonight. The Democratic National Convention in full swing. Ted Kennedy's talking right now. Margaret, I don't know if you've been in the hall to hear it.
I have not, Phil. I did see Ron Reagan Jr. I heard Theresa Heintz. She really embodied. I heard you speaking about her, and I know you were being a little whimsical about her being an attractive woman. She is an attractive woman. She really embodies, I think, the spirit of the Democratic Party, and she was with me when we looked at this electoral map, and I said to her, I said, Terry, look, we don't need the black vote, and she leaned on me and she said, my God, how many years has it been? So I...
Well, what difference does it make? Suppose you, suppose 98% of the African-American vote swings for Kerry anyway, that means you win in a landslide.
Well, that's the point. We are going to win strong with just whites. So we can finally get it off of our back that we're the black party, and we can finally be the American party. And
wait a minute. Do you hear what you're saying?
What?
We're not the black party.
No. You're misunderstanding me.
I think I'm interpreting you very clearly from what you're saying. We're no longer the black party. We're now the American party.
I'm just saying people are going to see me walking down the street or any Democrat and go, oh, there she goes, the party that needs all the blacks. And I understand how you want to purposely construe what I'm saying, Phil.
Well, no. I don't have to construe anything you're saying. You're saying it right there for me. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, no, you are purposely distorting it.
No, ma'am, I'm not. Here is Becky. Becky, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. I came up and after watching the convention, turned on the radio, and I am appalled. I cannot believe the comments that you have made. You have, embarrassed that you even say you're a Democrat. You don't need the black people. I mean, are they like, they're like animals now that you don't need to let them, but somehow the Democrats have let them fly first class. Let them have cable. We've let them have a hand up. I have lived in the black community, married to a black man for over 35 years. I have children that are biracial. All our friends are in the very higher upper economic, making 70, 80, 90 to 150,000 a year.
We are good black
people. Did you not listen? Did you not even hear the young senator from Illinois on the stage tonight?
Yes, I heard him.
And you're going to tell me that we don't need him. People are still the slaves that we've let loose, and we're going to net. You know, we want to give them. And besides, as far as the checks and the handouts, the social agencies that I've worked in, those lines are just as full of white folks as they are with black folks.
Well, that's
that need
the,
a hand down or a hand up.
Exactly.
It's not a racial issue. It's an economic issue.
Ms. Gray, what is your response?
It's not a racial issue.
I want to say one thing. First of all, I didn't say we let them loose of slavery. And the young black man that was speaking this evening...
You let them fly first class on the plane.
Well, they can fly first class.
TV. We don't let them do anything. They pay for those first class fares.
But they didn't have the right to buy cable TV until the Democrats came along. That's all I'm saying.
You're a racist and you're...
Oh, my God. How long have you been a Democrat? How long have you been a Democrat?
After Theresa Carey tonight... spoke of living in South Africa and apartheid and how she was it was segregated then and how she is so proud that we have an America that's integrated now, you have taken us back to segregation.
No, I am not. First of all, I think Theresa Carey is a wonderful...
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. We're not having a conversation. Hey,
tonight.
Becky, hold on. We're not having a conversation here, ladies. There has to be a give and take.
Well, she's been motor-mouthing until she got... What do you want me to do?
Go ahead and make your response.
First of all, Theresa Carey, yes, she did live in South Africa, and I think it was wonderful of her to do that, to live in proximity to blacks. And I think you should try it. Secondly, many of the
I
people...
I do, believe me.
You do?
I do live in very... Did you not hear me say that I have lived in the black community?
I was trying to be heard.
For 35 years.
You live... Are you black?
I live in the black community.
Well, then why can't you just say you're black?
I'm not. I'm white.
Well, I don't understand. You live in the black community, but you're white.
I'm white. I am married to a black man, and I have been for over 35 years.
Well, that's unusual. But anyway...
Oh, it's unusual?
It's a little unusual. Yes, I'm not putting you down for it. It's just unusual.
Well, it's an interracial marriage.
You know what I think is very wrong is that the Democratic Party, for the first time, doesn't have to simply be the African Democratic Party. It can be the whole Democratic Party, and this lady's upset.
No, it's because you are trying to now exclude the black people. You wanted to use them to get so that you could get what you wanted.
Well, that's what we did as Democrats.
And now you're saying we don't need to. So, you know what I would like to do is see the majority of them vote Republican.
Well, it's not going to happen. You know as well as I do that's going to happen. You know, the nuns will go ice skating with the devil before that happens. You know that as well as I do.
All right, listen, Becky, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Carletta, go ahead. Before you speak, Carletta, Margaret, I have to tell you, you're using some racially charged words, and...
I am not.
Yeah, you're saying the Black Democratic Party, and...
No, I said I was very happy that Terry Hines had been in South Africa and had been around blacks, you know, so...
What do you mean around blacks? She lived down there. Carletta, go ahead.
Yes, first of all, I would like to say I am so glad that you are not the mouthpiece for the Democratic Party, or surely all black people who do vote, who get out and vote, would definitely vote Republican.
Wait a minute.
You ought to be ashamed of the words that are coming out of your mouth when you say that black people don't vote unless they vote Democrat.
Well, of course.
You lost your mind?
Well, wait a minute. The Democratic Party...
What era are you living in to say that and to also say that Democrats don't need the black vote?
Did you look at the results of the 2000 election? 98% of the black vote went to Al Gore. What are you talking about?
Well, I can tell you right now that because Kerry does not even present a strong platform, he rides middle ground on many important issues, there are many strong, devout Democrats that are going to vote Republican simply because they know what they're getting in Bush.
Well,
they don't know what they're getting in Kerry.
John Kerry's been very clear on homeless shelters and on the
primary concern of black people, and I don't know where you're living at, is not food and shelter. This is not Ethiopia. This is not South Africa. Black people are the driving force of this economy if you want to start looking at the breakdown of the consumer dollar and how it's driven this country, especially in the 1990s.
Well, I don't know what you're talking
about.
To
even say that, you have no idea what the black needs are.
Are you African-American?
Oh, I am African-American.
All right, all I'm simply saying, the good news is we don't need you to vote this year. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, but you don't need us to vote like we're a pack or a little group that you use to sway the vote if you need us.
Well, in so many words, yes.
Why are you even on the radio, or why are you even talking?
I'm an American.
All right. 1-800.
Why does your opinion matter?
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The Democrats don't need the black vote. They can win it with the whites. That's what Margaret Gray is saying. Phil Henry Show.
Well,
we're back on the air right now.
Well, I'm insisting that you allow me to make that statement.
I will let you make that statement as soon as I identify the show. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. With me is Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated newspaper columnist, who's also covering the convention in Boston. By the way, Ann Coulter...
Well, she
was going to be covering the convention for USA Today, but they didn't like her column. And
well, Ann Coulter is not qualified to cover this convention or any other convention. Ann Coulter thinks she is the sex toy of the Republican Party. She thinks she is the beauty queen of the conservative set. And
the USA Today, I read her column, was hysterically funny. And
no, it wasn't. It wasn't funny at all. It was mean. It was small. It was everything that is negative. I want to say, and I want to be allowed to say to your black listeners, because you have misconstrued what I've said to your listeners, And
I'm not doing anything, Ms. Gray. You're doing it all yourself.
I want to say this directly to the Democrats, what are the black Democrats that are listening. Of course the Democratic Party appreciates everything that you have done turning out regularly with your vote. I do at this time remind you of all the things the Democratic Party has done for you, whether it be your right to vote, your right to, for instance, date white men or women or what have you. We are simply saying, this year, if you could bring yourself not to vote, it would enable the Democratic Party to escape its traditional image as a party for ethnic minorities, and it becomes a party. You're not missing a chance to lampoon me, are you?
No, I'm sorry. You misspoke.
Ever mindful that you're doing a comedy show, it becomes a party for everyone.
So let me just restate.
No, this is where we get into trouble. When you restate what I just said, I don't want you restating what I just said.
Did you not just say we would prefer you not to vote because then it won't be so ethnically, we won't be identified as an ethnic minority party?
No, I did not.
You didn't.
No, I did not. You misconstrued it again.
You most certainly did.
No, I didn't. And, Phil, I am far too much of a professional and a woman to call you a liar, but that's exactly what you did.
Oh, my God, I just heard you say that.
Well, then I'd get my ears fixed if I were you.
You know what? I'm not going to involve my callers. I'll let them say what they want to say. 1-800-449-8686. Darlene, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just saying that I don't know where this lady comes from, but historically, black people have been Republicans. They have not been Democrats. And she's just a total disgrace to the black race because what she's talking about is totally hogwash. Black people need more than just shelter.
Are you black?
And a roof. Yes, I am.
Well, I went to school
in the 60s. I went to school on the EOP program. I did all of that. And what you're talking about?
Were you bust?
What?
Were you bust?
What do you mean was I bust? No, I wasn't bust.
Okay.
I have to be bust because I lived in an area in Northern California where I could go to any school I wanted to, and I went to a predominantly white school.
What color was the bus that you rode in?
I never rode on the bus. I drove a car. My parents had enough money where I could have whatever I want when I want it.
But you're totally white. You do not represent black people well at all. What, are you white?
No, I'm not. I'm black.
No, I don't understand. You had your own car. Was it a Cadillac? What was it?
No, it wasn't. No, it was a 66 Mustang. My parents were both black.
But you're
white. I went to a predominantly all-white school and graduated and went to college.
What you're
talking about is totally nonsense because in history proves that black people were Republicans. I am not voting for John Kerry because nobody knows anything about what he really stands for. I'm voting to be a Republican.
I've always been Republican,
and that's who I'm voting for. And any black person that votes for Kerry is selling it down the total river.
That's not what I'm talking
and you
about
don't know anything about black people
person,
at all. I'm black.
You said you had two black parents, but you were white.
No, I didn't say I was white.
How can she have two black parents?
I said I was black. Two black parents, and I'm still black, and I still believe you don't know what you're talking about.
This will prove.
And black people are being fooled by Kerry.
You said you went to a white school.
Yes, you would know how to sing
the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E.
I don't need anything like that.
All I know is a poor excuse of a black person.
Are you trying to say that white schools...
In the white schools, they taught you to sing the alphabet. The black schools, they didn't. So you must know how to sing the alphabet.
Well, I don't know anything what you're talking about.
You don't know how to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z,
and you're very ignorant to black history because if you knew anything about black history,
all right, then wrap the alphabet.
Were Republicans.
All right.
They were not Democrats.
Darlene, thank you very much for your call.
All right,
and
thank
I
you.
Want the lady to sing the alphabet.
She's not going
to
sing.
I don't have to. I'm black. I'm more blacker than you. You don't even know you're black.
No,
you're
I'm black.
Oreo.
I'm very black.
I don't
black.
Even want to talk to you. You're
no, you're not. You're
Oreo.
White.
Well, period.
Black.
Goodbye.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P. Oh, but you are red center. Step off, Darlene.
What do you mean you're black?
Well, she thought I was.
And what do you mean white schools taught us how to sing the alphabet?
Can you?
Yeah, I can sing it.
Go ahead.
I'm not...
Go ahead. Prove you went to a white school.
Well, what, are you nuts or something? Where else was I going to go? What, do you think I was raised in freaking Bellflower or Southgate? I'm from Arcadia. It's Lily White.
I said to sing the alphabet.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, and T, U, V, W, N, X, Y, Z. Now I know my ABCs. What do you think of me?
Boy, that was pretty sad. I mean...
Well, how good do you want me to sing it?
You know, if you learned it in a white school, you learned it with verb. You learned it with the flair. A, B, C, D, E, F, G...
Well, H, I, J...
I'm done with that broad. I'm telling you, are we contracted with her for the whole week? Sing it with flair. If you went to a white school, you learned how to sing the alphabet. You went to a black school, you learned how to rap it. Is that it, Margaret? Is that your little racial rejoinder this evening? Is that it, huh? I got you back on the air.
Yes.
Well, go ahead. How would the black kids do it?
ABC. XYZ. What do you think of me? F.
1-800-449-8686. Coming up next hour, Bobby Dooley on something that happened to her that most women would give their uterus for. She was carded. She was asked for her ID at a liquor store, and she's 39. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley is coming up next hour. She is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. She was today carded. When she went to Liquor Barn to buy a box of Merlot, she was asked for her ID. She's 39 years of age, and this is very important news, and she wants to share it with all of you and also share with you why it is she was carded. Well, for a lot of reasons. One of them, she's just youthful. That's coming up next hour on The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. While the Democratic Convention continues in Boston, and with all of the important news coming out of Washington and the Middle East, naturally during our news break, Mr. Newman and I were on AreYouHotOrNot.com. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this website, but people submit their pictures. This has nothing to do with sex, really, although I suppose the sexier the picture, the better your vote is going to be, but pictures are submitted, and then they're separated out as to gender and age. And you can click on certain areas of this site to find women only, the men only, men and women, young, old, etc. And there is a series of little circles you can click as to whether, you know, what you think of that person. Are you hot or do you think they're hot or not, right? And, you know, you'll see the picture and you can vote either a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way on up to 10. And so what Newman and I were doing was we were just hitting 1 on everything. See, the internet allows you to go back to the days when you were making crank phone calls. When you were a kid and you were on the phone, hello?
Yeah, my butt hurts.
Clicking. And, you know, you look at these pictures, and honest to God, some of the people I feel for, somebody put my picture on that.
I didn't. Someone took my promo picture for my radio show and stuck me up there. I think I got like a 2.5 or something. The women, they're all in a variety of ways attractive. I just, they're women. But some of you guys putting your picture up there, what exactly are you cats thinking anyway? Now, I ain't saying that it's a bad thing to put your picture there, but some of the pictures you're submitting, just because you think you look real cute with your nose shoved into the camera with the glasses, I don't know, like the image some guys have of themselves, if you don't look like, if you're not really the Sean Penn type, I mean, if you're not really the... If you're not really the muscled, young, hunk type dude, then no amount of posing is going to do it for you. Just because you're wearing a t-shirt, it don't make you, Brad Pitt. Guys on there, some of these guys, then they're sort of staring into the camera with the sullen look, and some of them are wearing the Mickey Mouse t-shirt, like, aren't I cute? Give it up. Give it up. And then what happens is they go in and they check to see what vote their picture got. So I'm just going through it. I'm hitting ones on everything. One, 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 one. If I think a chick looks too hot, I'll hit a one. If I think it was submitted as it's really somebody's like a model photo, portfolio photo that someone put in there, I hit a one. If she's trying to obviously show that she has real brand new big fake breasts, one. If she is doing the sultry thing without just a natural smile, one. If the guy is there posing, one. If he's sitting there in the t-shirt that's a tank top, one. If he's sitting there showing his well-muscled arms and yet he's got a nose on him that you could get shade under, one. If it's a guy at all, one. I don't care what the guy looks like, one. If it's a girl on her hands and her knees, one. In any event, it's called areyouhot.com. Boy, we really care about what people think about us, don't we? We sure do, man. Got to find out, am I hot? Am I hot? Am I hot? Well, you're very nice. No, am I hot? No, you don't. No, there's nothing sexual about you at all. I'm not hot. No, you're not hot, man. No, you're just not the kind of person someone's going to run up to and want to rip the clothes off of. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's someone out there for you. I mean, there's somebody for everybody, like they says. But you ain't it. Find out whether you're hot or not. Am I hot or not? Anyway, Bobby Dooley will join us next hour. She's hot, man, because she got carded. She is sex, baby. She is sex on wheels. She's got the body, she's got the looks, she's got it all going on for her. And she is going to just, honest to God, she's going to become the next sex symbol of she's our new sexy suburban Nazi, Bobby Dooley. She's everything that every woman 35 plus would like to be. She's got brand new breasts, brand new lips, brand new ears, brand new cheeks, brand new chin, brand new ass. She's got a brand new pair of shoes, brand new pants. She's got brand new top, got brand new hair. She's got those tattooed eyebrows. Are you ready? Yeah, she's tattooed her eyebrows. Now, why worry about plucking your eyebrows when you can shave them and tattoo them on? She's got contact lenses for every day of the week. She's got blue eyes on Monday. She's got green eyes on Tuesday. She's got gray eyes on Wednesday. She can even be black if she wants to. She's got dreadlocks. She's got extensions. She's got a fright wig. She's got the nice kind of Terry Heinz bouffant. She got a Jerry Springer mask for Halloween. She's beautiful. And how do we know? Because she's got the $50,000 tab to prove it. She got her face pulled back. She got her eyes done. She got her lips shot full of collagen. She got her teeth capped. She got an ass lift. She got an ear drop. She got a breast enhancement. And she got a chin reduction. She got a belly button job. She got a tattoo on her rear end, a tattoo of a butterfly on her shoulder blade. She's got herself a nice sprayed-on pair of spandex running shorts. And as she jogs in place there at the corner, As the light waits to change, as everybody in the cars waits, and she's jogging, and she's pretending like she doesn't care if people are looking at her brand new ass. In other words, she looks just like Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Late Night here with Raj. And you know, this is the program we talk to all the lovely ladies out there to tell us what you're doing tonight to make yourself so sexy, so beautiful, and so desirable for your man. All right, let's check out now. And I have on the line here Lakeisha. Lakeisha, how you doing tonight?
How you doing?
I'm real good, baby. Hey, what you doing tonight to make it kind of special for your man, huh?
Well, I thought what I would do is get into a diaper and...
That's out of sight. Oh, yeah, that's out of sight.
Freak.
Wait a minute, hold on. Oh, we'll be right back.
The Raj Show will be right back after these messages.
Okay, you did it again. Who was that?
Well, it was a crank call.
I know it was a crank call. I'm trying to be sexy here. Now get the good calls on. Are you fired?
All right, we're doing the best we can. Well,
you're not doing good enough.
30 seconds of the commercial.
Hi, I'm Roger.
Hi, I'm Roger.
All right, I got it.
Yeah, Raj, I'm back now. All right, let's talk to the ladies tonight. Who we got on the line here?
My name is Mercuretta.
Oh, Mercuretta, how are you doing?
Up and down.
We'll be right back.
The Raj Show will be right back after another crank call. We're sorry about that, folks.
Oh, so you can't help it, huh?
It was a crank call like...
All right, you're fired. Get a new screener in there.
Well, wait a minute.
Get a new screener!
You're the guy with a fake voice.
I don't care if I got a fake voice. I've been making a lot of money on it.
The Raj Show is back. All right, now let's talk to, this is Lavoris. How you doing, Lavoris?
I'm the screener you just fired, you big queer. And I can tell...
Phil Henry's show will be back with Bobby Dooley coming up. I'm quitting the business. I'm going to the Bahamas to rent cars.
This is the Phil Henry Show. He'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8666.
You know, a lot of women...
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Bobby Dooley. There we go. All right, talking with Bobby Dooley. She is president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're going to have her on in just a moment. You are listening to the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And Ms. Dooley joins us from Western Estates Homeowners Association, where there was a meeting today of the Homeowners Association Board. And just to bring people up to speed, Ms. Dooley, you are the president there?
Yes, Phil. We have 23 homes, and I'm the Homeowners Association president as well as the recording secretary and president of our PTO.
Now, the meeting you had today was with regard to what?
We had a very quick meeting that I called to inform our board, because we are involved in a lot more than just, our architectural decisions and so forth about the homes.
Yeah.
To let them know that I had been at a local retailer called the Liquor Barn, which is where it's a wholesale, it's a wine and a liquor warehouse.
Okay.
And I had purchased two boxes of a Merlot, and when I approached the counter, I was asked for my ID. Okay, I'm 39 years of age.
Now, you were at a liquor store.
Yes, I was picking up some wine for our summertacular meeting. And the clerk, who was a very young woman, probably in her late 20s, said, "Can I see some ID?"
Wow. Now, how old are you?
I just turned 39.
Okay.
And I'm 39, and she asked to see my ID. So you have to realize this is an experience that just about every woman who is in her 30s on up really wants to have. And that's why it's so important. It's not that it happened to me. It's that very few of us who are in their... who are beyond their 20s are asked for their ID, whether we're at a club or whether we are just in a store. And this is an experience, as I said, Phil. The chances of it happening are very slim, but it does happen for a select few of us. And the reason, Phil, has a lot to do with the fact that I take care of myself. I also stay in touch with my kids. I know what the youth of today are doing.
Yeah, but why did you announce this at a homeowners association meeting?
Just to make sure that
people were aware of the fact. A lot of the ladies on our board, I thought, would be interested to know, because we do have a lot of the gals who are involved in our fashion show, and they, you know, they're attractive. Some of them think they're a little bit probably more attractive than they are, and so I said it just as, it was really more a wake-up call for a lot of these women who think that they're, I guess, attractive, and so on.
All right, so it's almost, you say it's almost thinking young helps keep one young. And I'm reminded the day that I turned 21, after that, no one ever carded me again.
Well, you know, one of the things, though, you're very fair skinned. The sun can age your skin. That happens to light skinned people. The sun does age you. But the real secret as to why I get asked for my ID.
Let me ask him, has this happened more than once?
Well, has it happened more than
once? Yeah, has it happened to you? Is this the first time?
It doesn't surprise me that it's happened.
Well, what do you attribute this to?
Well, there's a lot of things. I shop in the young woman section at Nordstrom's or Macy's. I do wear a lot of the young fashions. When it comes to my son's friends, I don't get too close to their parents. I like the kids a lot, but the parents I'm a little bored with, and when they call, I try and behave distant with a young woman attitude, which is polite but sort of distant, distracted. I talk on the phone a lot. I'm always laying, you know, talking to the girls laying on the floor or on the couch or something like that or in the den.
So you're telling me that you behave like a young woman and that's helped you stay youthful physically. Are you in a bathtub right now?
As a matter of fact, I am too. So I'm doing a little soaking tonight. If it's distracting.
No, it's okay. I could just hear the water. So you are, and this has helped you stay youthful physically.
Yes. And
so it's mind over matter, or
no? It's really a holistic thing. It's
okay.
It's the whole package. My attitude is very young. When I get angry with Steve, I'm extremely youthful in the way that I get angry.
Give me an example of youthful anger.
Well, I'm not afraid of telling Steve that I hate him sometimes, because that's what I'm feeling. So many women who have not had the experience of being asked for their ID, they can't allow themselves to just tell their husbands or their children that they hate them. And I scream it sometimes. I tell my sons I hate them. I don't engage. A lot of times I just run out of the room.
So you're acting like a teenage girl.
No, I'm acting young. I'm acting youthful. When you say a teenage...
Well, you're describing the behavior of a teenage girl in many ways, right?
Well, I don't know what you mean. I'm just acting very youthful.
Well, screaming that you hate somebody and then running out of the room.
No, it's just youthful. It's honest.
All right, I'm going to give our phone number out. Bobby Dooley with us, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. She was asked for her ID, even though she's 39. It's what is called carded, I guess. And she is on our show tonight to tell us how it is that at the age of 39, a liquor store proprietor is asking her for her ID. All right, so you were describing a youthful way of behaving, which to me sounds like a teenage girl, but...
Well, I'm acting... my son the other night, I'll give you an example, and I love my sons, and I know I've told them that I hate them, but I love them as well, but the other night my son went to kiss me goodnight, and I sort of told him he was being gross.
I'm sorry, he was being gross?
That is correct.
Now, do you really think your son is gross for wanting a goodnight kiss?
No, I don't think he's gross. I just want to stay in touch with, I guess, an inner teenager, and I told him he was gross, and he was able to relate to it. Again, Phil, let's remember what we're talking about. I got asked for my ID today. Now, most women would really believe, they would put themselves through a hysterectomy or some kind of cancer surgery. I really, honestly, just for once in their life, they could be asked for their ID when they're buying liquor or cigarettes or entering a club.
It's that important to them?
Absolutely, yeah.
Have you been asked for your ID going into a club? Have you, again, you're 39.
I'm 30. I'll tell you a story. Steve and I were with another couple, and we were going into the Sky Bar in Hollywood. Okay, and the man at the door asked to see my ID. Now, this other gal we were with was smiling, almost as if to say, I hope it happens to me, and of course it didn't. And you immediately see the palpable jealousy. And it's almost a violent hatred. And of course, the evening wasn't made more comfortable by the fact that her husband, and this was a singer couple, Bill and Eve Singer.
Yeah.
Bill wanted me to dance with him.
Well, I don't know why this guy, so you're saying the guy somehow was more attracted to you because you got carded?
Again, it's just my youthfulness. He asked me to dance, and I ignored him, and there's a song called Get Down On It by Casey and the Sunshine Band, and the lyric goes, get down on it, do, do, get down on it, do. And I dance to that. And the word, when the lyric says, get down on it, I lower my hips down to the ground and then up again right in front of him.
So were you flirting with this man? You know?
No, I have no intention of doing that. It is simply to stay youthful in my approach. And so I ignored him for most of the night. So I was dancing provocatively, but I was ignoring him. And that's what a young teenage girl does. And that is how you stay youthful. And that.
But you're not making a lot of friends, are you? You're not...
I'm making... People are attracted to me. And I don't know what you mean by making friends, but again, let me get back to the point. I was asked for my ID. That is something that just doesn't happen. It takes a lot of work. And tonight, there are a lot of women who wish they were me.
All right, Bobby Dooley, 1-800-449-8686, joins us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. She's 39, and she was asked for her ID in a liquor store yesterday, I think it was, at the Liquor Barn out in Western Estates. She was buying some wine, and they asked her for her ID. She called a meeting of the Western Estates Homeowners Association to announce that fact. And I guess we're talking about why this is important to a lot of women. And how it is that she got asked for her ID, and most women over 30 don't get asked for their ID. She talks about maintaining a youthful approach. But, again, it sounds to me like she's just acting like a teenage girl, flirting with a guy and then ignoring him, screaming that you hate your husband and your sons and then running out of the room and laying on the floor all day on the phone. So if that's youthful... And it's worth it for you to act that way just so someone will ask you for your ID. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Mommy to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight?
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to open up to phone calls in a moment here with Bobby Dooley, who's the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. But I wanted to ask you, Ms. Dooley, you're talking about being asked for your ID today at Liquor. Was it yesterday at Liquor Barn?
Yes. It was really early in the morning. I had gone in there and approached the desk with the wine. I wanted to just, if I could, Phil.
But how old are you?
I'm sorry?
How old are you?
I just hit my 45th birthday. And you can see how significant...
45?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you said you were 39?
No, I wish I was 39, but it really doesn't matter. When people think that you're too young to buy alcohol and you're 45, it's very significant. I wanted to mention to you, Phil, you said you're opening it up for phone calls.
Yeah, we give out our number and people call in and talk to you a little bit about. One of the things I want to know is maybe women have questions as to why you how it is you can be asked your ID when you're 45.
Well, here was my thought, if I could. If I could just suggest this, and I don't want to tell you how to do your program.
Go ahead.
I don't think that it's probably the wisest thing for women to call in. Because, first of all, I don't know that they want to expose themselves as being individuals who haven't had their ID, asked for their ID. That's number one. Number two, it's tough for a woman to talk to another woman who has had that experience. In other words,
Are you trying to say it's going to be humiliating for a lot of women to call in and talk to you?
Yes, I really do. And I don't want to expose my sisters to that, if I may say my sisters. I want them to just hear me and hear the significance of what happened. But I don't want to humiliate them.
Well, there might be some women listening who have had a similar experience.
Well, if they have, there's no need for them to call because they know what I'm talking about. If they haven't, it's only going to be opening them up to humiliation talking with a woman who is 45 and at a liquor store, no less, was asked for her ID because the man didn't think she was old enough. Now, when you're 45 and you get carded at a liquor store, it's a cleansing of the soul in many ways. It's a validation. It is a... there's so many things I could compare it to. It's like finally getting the notary public stamp on, yes, I am still viable. I am still very much alive. I am still very vital and still a very active member of the youth community. I think more than anything else, that's it. And so...
All right, well, all of these things are fine and all of these things are well and good, but to take phone calls from my listeners, because you were saying, well, here's how you can get asked for your ID. You got asked for your ID, and you're still in the bathtub, right?
I am. I'm just doing a little soaking. I've got some bath beads, and I've got some candles lit, and it's just my way of sort of soothing my soul and sort of celebrating the day. And I've got a glass of white wine, and my husband Steve is in the garage. He's working on the... He has two beautiful Corvettes. I think he's working on the royal blue one tonight. Just doing something, I don't know, some kind of repair in his Corvette.
All right, that's fine. I mean, I just, the water is sounding a little loud, but...
I'm sorry, I'm trying to just sort of moisturize my shoulders a little bit.
That's fine, but again, we're talking about you being asked for your ID at a liquor store... and you say that this is a validating thing. Now, 45 is that's rather impressive to be asked for your ID.
Understand, Phil, I'm 45, and I don't look old enough to buy liquor. How many women can say that? How many women can say...
Well, there's a lot of very beautiful models.
No, there's no... I mean, even the most gorgeous model that I can think of, Tyra Banks or Elle McPherson, no one would ever mistake them for someone under the age of 21. It happened to me. And that's why I called the meeting of the Western States Homeowners Association. And really what I'm doing right now, moisturizing my shoulders, I use a moisturizing mist on my face, I use lavender bath salts.
Well, a lot of that is physical, but you also said that you stay youthful. And a lot of the youthful behavior that you say you exhibit is the youthful behavior of a teenage girl telling your husband you hate him and running out of the room.
Well, but Steve knows that I don't really hate him. It's just, for instance, I was driving home from the Jan's Mall the other day, and I outran a police officer. It wasn't responsible. It was very dangerous. But I was racing, and I literally lost a California Highway Patrolman. And that's really something that a kid would do.
Absolutely, a kid would do that. And a kid could die doing that. Don't you understand that that's the kind of example that is not the healthiest example?
I'm not asking my son to do that, Phil.
No, but you did it. You, in your effort to behave like a, you say a young woman, I say a teenage woman, you're speeding and outrunning a, you outran a cop?
I sure did. I lost him in the orange groves up near Phillips Ranch.
You could get killed. I mean, and you know the cops don't like that.
Well, I don't... Phil, it wasn't like I stole the car.
I'm just saying, it's not a responsible thing. Now, I have a phone call that I'd like to go to.
All right. What I'm asking you is, after I do my soak, I'm going to put my hair in pigtails and put on some pajamas. Please don't open up any of the women to humiliation that are calling in. Because
I don't know why they'd be humiliated.
They're talking to me. I was asked for my ID at Liquor Barn.
All right, so people don't think you're old enough to drink liquor at Liquor Barn. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley, who's 45, got carded the other day. Here is Donna. Donna, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi there.
Hi, Donna.
I just want to tell Bobby that she's not as special as she'd like to think she is. And I'm 50 years old. And I get carded on a regular basis at liquor stores.
Well, whatever you say. I mean, I don't... When you say regular basis...
Well, I go into a liquor store, like, let's say, once a month. I go in and get some beer. And usually the guy... I don't go to the same place all
are
the
you,
time.
Are, do
and
you,
there's usually
do,
a foreigner there, but
do you
he
talk,
always...
Well, see, that's
for
just
my
it.
ID.
Well, that's just it. I was carded by a native-born American.
Well, I get hit on by native-born Americans. They're less than half my age.
Well, that may be, but I'm talking about, yeah, because they like older women. But I'm talking about being mistaken for someone who is under 21.
I've been mistaken for somebody under 21 more than a handful of times in the last 6 months.
I'll tell you why I don't believe you.
Okay, fine. Why not? I don't believe you because you tell me you're wearing your hair in pigtails.
You know, that's what I do. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something.
If I'm wearing your hair in a ponytail, honey, it'll work a lot better.
Donna, if you at all have been speaking to these people that are carding you, that's a dead giveaway because you sound as if you have false teeth. And I don't mean to be cruel. You do, don't you?
I don't have any false teeth. I got 30 of my original teeth.
Well,
I have
why is
two
there...
wisdom teeth out.
Well, there's something
and
wrong.
And no cavities and no fillings.
Well, there's something wrong with the way you're talking. I don't know what.
Well, what are you hearing?
It's an older sounding voice. And so, you know, nice try.
Oh, well, nice try, yeah.
Right,
well, I'm telling the truth. That's the difference between you and me.
You know what, sweetie? I am,
that's the difference between
you
and me.
And you don't have to believe me, and I don't have to believe you, do I?
Well, I'm telling the truth. That's the only difference. And
I'm but I'm telling the truth,
well,
too,
I'm the
you
guest.
Don't believe me.
Are you a guest on the show? No, I am.
In a sense, I am.
No, you
I'm
aren't. You're a caller.
On the radio just
no,
like you are.
You're a caller. You're not a guest.
She's a caller, and she's... I'm treating her the same way I'm treating you, Ms. Dooley. Okay?
But I'm the one that
and
was asked to be on the show.
And I'm talking on the radio.
Well, so what? So I'm moisturizing my skin.
Button.
What?
I said, so button.
What? God.
All right. Anyway, Donna, thank you. What did she say?
She said, so button. Really good, Donna. That's just so... You know, when you're old... And you spend your life drinking tons of beer and smoking tons and tons of Harley Davidson cigarettes.
All right, never mind. 1-800-449-8686. The big news, Bobby Dooley was asked for her ID, and she's 45 when she was buying wine. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Foo Bar. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association is on the air with us. She is talking about how at the Liquor Barn, which is a local liquor retailer, she was asked for her ID because they didn't think she was old enough to buy liquor, and she's actually 45 years of age and is excited about that. And
well, I don't want to say I'm excited.
All right, okay, let me just say, but you called a meeting of your homeowners association.
It's important, I think, to let women know. A lot of men don't understand these things. For women, it's very significant. You could hear in the last lady's voice, this is why I didn't want to talk to any of your listeners. I don't want to get into an argument with them.
Well, that lady said she was 50, and she's asked for her ID.
Well, I don't believe it.
Well, why don't you believe it?
Because you could hear... It sounded as if she had some problem with her speech.
Well, so?
So what?
So what difference is that? We're talking about the way somebody looks.
No, the minute you open your mouth, they know that if she opens her mouth and she sounds as if she's got... forgive me for saying this. It sounds like she has been... she's had something forced through her teeth. I don't know.
As if she's got false teeth?
Like something has pushed the teeth back. And that doesn't sound like a young person.
And yet you're still in the tub, I can hear.
I am. I'm just moisturizing. Steve and I are going to have a little drink when I get out.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Laura, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Yes, hi, Phil.
Hi.
I was listening to this lady that's in a pub, and you know, you mentioned twice that you are 39 years of age, isn't it?
No, I'm 45.
Well, but when Phil Henry asked you how old are, you told him you are 39.
I don't think you heard. Are you not from this country?
No. I heard
okay.
You
then you probably thought I was saying 39. It's 45.
Well, you said the first time you're 45, but twice you mentioned your age was 39.
Well, let me just say, I am, Laura, I don't know where you're from, but I am 45, okay?
Yes. Well,
you
know,
45.
Then I saw you on the radio, and I heard you say 39.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, 45.
Well, very well.
And they asked
but
me...
You know, if you lying about your age on the radio, how can we trust you with your ID?
Well, I didn't lie, and...
Well, you did mention 39.
I probably said it. I made a mistake.
Right.
Well, I slipped up.
How can you slip up?
What do you mean, how can I... You don't make mistakes?
Well, don't you know your...
Well, if somebody asks me, however, if I want to lie, I'm going to...
Are you talking via shortwave? Because you're ready... Are you sure you didn't hear me say Steve is in the garage using turpentine?
No. I heard you say 39 and the whole...
No. I said my husband is using turpentine. I didn't say 39.
You just said you did say 39.
No, I said 39.
Did you hear me say that my husband was in the garage?
Yes, I heard you say that.
Yes.
And he's using turpentine.
Well, this is entirely different, lady. You mentioned about your age, that you are 39.
No, I didn't say 39. I said turpentine.
I heard you say...
I'm not going to argue with you about my suggestion to you.
Have you ever been asked for your identification?
If you want to regenerate your body, you should regenerate your brain and stop lying to the audience.
You know, I'm
That's
soaking...
All I want you to
well,
say
if you're me. Jealous that I'm soaking in lavender
I'm
bath
I'm not jealous
beef.
Because I'm 38, and I look younger than you are because I'm getting compliments from teenagers.
Well, you may be getting compliments, but no one's mistaking you for anything other than being older. And the reason why... Have you tried lavender bath beads?
Will you look at this, Julie?
Ma'am, when I go to a campus...
When you go to a camp?
Campus, people think I'm in my mid-20s.
In your mid-20s?
I'm 28 years old.
Your IQ? I don't understand.
Mid-20s age.
Oh,
that's right.
Well, that's what... But that's still not younger than 21, so they... You see what I'm saying?
Oh, you're so possessive looking,
I'm just moisturizing my shoulders.
That's great.
Oh, but listen, but Laura, 39, turpentine, do you see how they sound similar?
No.
You don't?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. When somebody says to look how old are you, it sounds 39.
Thank you very much, Laura. Thank you very much for calling us. Here is Pam on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Go ahead, Pam.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I'm 49 myself, and I've been carded several times, and I think it's a common courtesy and something that the young man probably did to make this gal feel better because...
Well, that's very spiteful of you to say that because... No, you know it is. I mean, look, if it's a courtesy, why doesn't it happen to more women?
I think it happens to women all the time.
Oh, no. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's happened to me numerous times,
well,
and I
so
certainly don't look like I'm less than 21.
So you say.
I'm saying I don't look like I'm 21.
No, but you're saying it's happened to you, and we have no way of knowing that it's true.
Well,
do you have the phone close to the water or something?
I think she's been in the water too long.
Well, you know something, Pam? You can call up and say it happened. But as I said to the other lady, I'm the guest on the show.
Let's talk about honesty.
All right, let's talk about it.
You said you were 39.
No, I did not.
I confused it with turpentine.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
I thought I heard 39.
I heard you.
I thought I heard 39.
Plain and clear.
I said my husband was using turpentine.
You said your husband was in the garage with the Corvette.
Yes, with his Corvette using turpentine.
No. Working on his Corvette, the blue Corvette, not turpentine.
I know what I said.
Yeah, well, we all know what you said. There's thousands of us listening.
We? Are you going to get all thousands of them to call in, Pam? Look, good for you. You've been carded, okay? Let's see who believes who at the end of the day.
What difference does it make, ma'am?
What?
What difference does it make if Pam's been carded, you've been carded, you know...
Did you go to the liquor store with your walker? Maybe that's why you think the man was trying to give you a compliment.
Well, whatever that means. Pam, thank you very much for your call. Let's go over to Gladys. Gladys, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
You totally blew it for me. I had a very good...
I didn't blow anything. It wasn't funny what you said about the walker.
Screw you.
That's being very spiteful, in my opinion.
No, I'm not being spiteful. I'm youthful-looking, and other women are jealous.
I understand that, but the reason why I called in is because I'm a 23-year-old female. I've been carded plenty of times.
Well, you're 23.
Exactly. And I'm also the mother of a 2-year-old child.
It's not legal to drink at 23, is it?
Yes, it is.
I think you're a little too immature in your own sick little mind.
Well, what are you talking about?
But my point to you is, as a 45-year-old woman who is married with 2 children, you said?
Yes, I've got 3 sons.
Okay. Well, I have 1 son, and he's 2 years old.
Yes.
I think at your age, you should be more concerned with raising your children and being a good wife instead of worrying about somebody at a liquor store thinking you're young.
Okay, now let
because
me ask
if
you
you're
this,
on the highway, Gladys. If you're on the highway trying to outrun a police officer and you're a mother and
a
wife,
what teenage boys and teenage girls do.
But you're not a teenager. You're a
but
mother.
It's what keeps
you're
me
a
youthful.
Mother.
Well, you're doing. You're engaging in youthful behavior, outrunning cops, telling your husband you hate him, telling your sons you hate them, and leaving the room. Flirting with men in clubs, lying on the floor and talking on the phone all day.
You know something, what is wrong with a woman staying youthful?
Okay, but wait, listen to me. I in my opinion, I'm still youthful, very youthful.
Well, wait a minute, I want to ask you something. You say you're 23, but you have the name Gladys.
Yes.
Ah, gotcha, gotcha.
What does my name
what
have to do with it?
That is not a name that this current generation gives to their children.
Well,
Gladys is an older generation name. Now, I submit that you're older, or you come from Guatemala, or I don't know, Ethiopia or something.
Well, you know what? If I did come from Ethiopia, I would be grateful to my culture, my country, my religion.
Well, where are you from?
Whatever you would think of it, to be able to raise me to be a 23-year-old mother who knows better than...
Why are you named Gladys? I don't get the name Gladys.
But listen to me.
I don't get the name Gladys for a 23-year-old. What is that about?
My name has nothing to do with it.
They might as well call you Gertrude or Blanche. It just doesn't happen.
Okay.
Forget her name, will you?
My point is that everybody is saying that you're acting...
I'm starting to prune.
You're acting...
Get out in a minute.
You're saying that you're acting youthful and like a teenager.
Yeah.
You're not.
I'm gay and carefree.
It was not that long ago that I was a teenager, and I was more responsible as a teenager than to go speeding down a highway when you've got 2 children and a husband waiting for you at home.
Don't get old before your years, Gladys. Have some fun.
I have
flirt
had fun,
with men.
Sweetheart. I have
outrun
had
police
fun,
cars.
And I am still having fun.
Click your tongue and you're
responsible.
God,
because at
weird.
The end of the day,
say that to people.
At the end of the day, I have to come home to my child to raise him in an adequate way so that he does not have to run into people like you
on
the highway.
If you're a single mother, I understand what you're talking about.
Why
would you automatically think I'm single?
The name's Gladys. You come from probably a Latin American country.
Are you that well-educated?
Put two and two together.
You would automatically think that because I have the name Gladys that I am not American?
That is not an American name. That is.
That most certainly is. My aunt's name is Gladys.
It doesn't
She's
matter
88,
if my
Phil.
Name is Laquifa or Shaniqua or Maria.
Right,
it does not matter. It does not matter.
All right.
Because as a 23-year-old female, I am more responsible. I am more responsible
and you clean houses.
In my life than you have ever been.
Yeah.
And
there's no reason for you, Ms. Dooley, to belittle this woman just because her name is Gladys.
Well, there is a reason for her to belittle me because she is so immature and she has not grown up. That's
really
what she
weird.
Needs to do.
You're weird.
You know, this is how you stay...
Why am I weird? Because I'm responsible?
This is how you stay youthful. Calling people weird, clicking your tongue and rolling your eyes, staying on the phone, laying on the floor, outracing cop cars, and saying you hate...
What's your name? Gladys Kravitz? That's the only Gladys I know, and she was on Bewitched. And she cleaned houses. Case closed. Thank you.
I think that if I cleaned your house, I'd have a better chance
Gladys,
to raise
thank
your
you very
children
much.
Than you would.
Do you use lavender bath beads?
Forget it!
Oh, you know the other Gladys I knew? Gladys Knight. Thank you.
Well, I think right now she doesn't need to be concerned with that because she's such a racist.
Steve, I'm drowning.
She needs to get over it. She needs to get over herself.
Mr. Dooley, are you there?
Yeah, she's drowning.
Oh, thank God.
What happened?
I don't know. I slipped under the water, and I was trying to act so immature, I forgot that I knew how to swim. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, Yeah, she's youthful. She's so youthful, she's got the brain of a freaking baby. Bobby Dooley, she got carded and she's 45, or is it 39? Or maybe she was saying turpentine. 1-800-449-8686 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll come back with more news and also tell you a little bit about our website, which is a fabulous place, right after this.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I can't believe it, man. Forehead Boy replayed his interview, his debate with Fat Ass. I mean, I'm telling you, I listened to Blubber Boy, and this cat was so confused, you could have torn him apart. But Forehead Boy allowed himself to get trapped, and there was no getting out. I'm Boulder Cronkite, and that's how I view it. All right, we have a flashback coming up from yesterday's show here in the Phil Hendry Show. And it was it Margaret? Yeah, it was Margaret Gray at the convention, as a matter of fact. She's the, as you know, the Democrat, or whatever the hell it's called, the Libertarian. There's something going on back in Boston. I don't know, it's the Boston Tea Party or something. Sure, it ain't the World Series. Anyway, she's back there, and she said that it's time to put all that stuff to rest. Teddy Kennedy's Chappaquiddick, Bill Clinton Lewinsky, Marilyn Monroe, all that stuff. Nobody is allowed to mention any bad stuff anymore about the Democratic Party. They're moving forward, and if anybody does, Margaret's going to take off her Puma heel and put the thing right through somebody's eye, or whatever the hell it was called. Here's Margaret with a caller.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just wanted to make my address my remarks to Margaret. I think that for her to stand up there and tell everybody that they can't talk about Lewinsky and Clinton is not right.
Why are you bringing
that
up?
And I think you should stop interrupting me while I'm talking.
Why are you bringing up
now? Would you like to rewrite history so that Lincoln wasn't murdered? Would you like to rewrite history so that some of the important facts? Line of thought, I would then say that the Democrats cannot mention 911 anymore, because that's in the past too, Margaret. He should have not done it if he didn't want people to talk about what he was doing in the White House, and he shouldn't have done it there with Ms. Lewinsky. And I'll let you know another thing, too. The jury is out on all of that.
Well, it is.
You are wrong.
Wait a second. You disagreed with me. The jury is out. I'm sorry.
You need to be more informed if you're going to be a commentator. Otherwise, you're not effective at all.
You know,
and
Marilyn,
I would suggest that you try to take a stand, something you can actually stand on.
Wait, I want to say something, too.
Go ahead.
I would have listened to this woman, but the first thing out of her yap was Lewinsky, and all that made me want to do is reach for something heavy. Now, is
learn
that
to
the,
control your feelings.
Is
you
that
might
the way
do
we,
better in life.
I'm doing very well, thank you very much.
I don't think so. Anybody who thinks they have enough power to shut the entire U.S. public up
I'd like
is
to
not
know
a problem.
What in blue blazes does Lincoln's assassination have to do with some slut laying at the bottom of a ditch who is...
Oh, come on. Mary Jo Kopechne?
It's all about changing history, Margaret. You can't do that. You
first of all,
we
know Lincoln was assassinated. We aren't sure whether or not Bill Clinton actually consummated the act with Monica Lewinsky. Thank you.
You are fooling yourself. You're also one of those people who says no one should be talking about O.J. Simpson anymore because the jury's still out on that, too.
You know, I'd love to get a handful of your hair. I really would.
You wouldn't be able to reach it, my dear. I'd have to kneel down in order for you to do that.
Well, get on your knees, then.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, that's Margaret. She's a beautiful thing, baby. She's back in Boston, and she's at the Democratic National Convention. What little odds and ends can we tie up tonight, man? I saw a whole bunch of happy people there. They had Theresa Heintz there. They had Teddy Kennedy was there. They had Ronnie Jr. I saw, as I mentioned, Blubber Ass. I saw Forehead Boy. They're all there at the Democratic National Convention. I just want to repeat what I said tonight. I'll vote for Kerry. I'm a Democrat. I might as well. Because I finally figured something out. I finally figured something out after 51 years on this planet. Not that I had the big, big realization. See, we all say that the Democrats and the Republicans are the same party, but we never really talk that way when the election comes around. We always say, oh, Kerry this and Bush that, Bush this and Kerry that. I'm going to vote for Kerry because Kerry is going to stay the course in Iraq. He can't do anything other than that. He'd look like a gutless wonder if he did. Not only that, but he's all promised a whole bunch of crap on the economy. And not only that, he says he's going to go kick some terrorist ass. So if he doesn't do any of that stuff, well, then he's really going to look like a turd in a bowl, ain't he? Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil.